10-0, TR clear.
10-4-ZLK.
Hi, Shane. Oh, I got to turn this radio down. I keyed the mic and I had the sound down, so I didn't know if I made it or not. How's your day going, Shane?
Sure, if you called me, I heard you say something and I was going to come back to you, and then sounded like you called, gave a call sign out. But anyway, it's going well. I just ran into town, had a little doctor's visit, and headed back home. I'm off today, so enjoying the beautiful weather.
I heard that there was going to be some extraneous QRM on here that was somewhat related to you last night.
Yeah, he's just waiting on his call sign.
Well, congratulations, Dan. That's great. I usually turn the radio off for a while after the net, and I had turned it back on, and I heard you and Patrick talking, and you're not proud or nothing.
And it's not just the ham radio. I'm happy to have him aboard. He's a good, a fine young man. I'm proud of him for lots of reasons. I have a beautiful granddaughter. He has a beautiful wife who we love dearly. And they have another one, the second one due in January. So there's lots of things to be proud of. And the ham radio is just a little topping on top of everything else.
Well, I tried bribing my youngest grandson. He's extremely smart and can do it easily. And I don't know. I guess he just don't. I know he likes money, but he must not like it very much, because I'm offering him a stipend for the technician and a stipend for the general and another stipend for the extra. And he ain't even done the technician yet, so I'm not going to push him.
Probably best let them do it when they want to instead of trying to force them into it. That's my theory anyway. You know, I knew eventually he'd want to do it, and this whole watching everything going on with all the things that Patrick was doing and all those operators up there in North Carolina really piqued his interest. So he's an outdoor guy and has been trained in swift water rescue and kayaking and canoeing and worked in Alaska. He loves all that stuff. This is just something else to add to his tool belt.
It's wonderful. I that's something that I never got to do, was kayaking in that, and did a lot of fishing, but nothing like that, and I've never been to Alaska, and oh, that's one place I kind of would have liked to have gone, but we're really not able now. But I watched all the shows from up there, like Below Zero and all of that, and really admire those folks. I just don't know how they do it. It's right on the edge of being in survival school like I was in the service.
Trying to live up there, I'm sure, especially year-round. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. I tell you what, we went and visited while they were up there. Absolutely loved it, but it would take a lot of hard work and a lot of preparation to go live there permanently.
I would think, you know, from the equipment I see those folks have and that at times, that they would be, Bernice is over here crunching stuff. We just left QT, that's the background noise. And I always see them riding pretty good four-wheelers, and some of them are really extreme. And driving some nice trucks. Now, on mountain men, it's just the opposite. The trucks he drives are amazing. One of them runs on wood. But Eustace, that's who I was trying to think of. He's up in North Carolina. But the ones up in Alaska up there, especially that lady, she's getting older now. It's just totally amazing. Her running that airfield and then providing, you know, her own meat and stuff like that from caribou and whatnot. I don't know. I just don't think I could tolerate that.
interesting story. You may have heard of him. A guy that he retired at like 51, 52 years old from a government job, I think, you know, state job, whatever. And then he moved to Alaska and he went in and did everything. Went in with a canoe and some supplies, and he just started building a little cabin, and he documents it with film. He kept a journal, and I think the film was put together and narrated by his brother, I believe. But it was from back in the 60s, maybe 70s. But there's two discs my son got me, one of my sons got me for a gift at Christmas time, and I watched them. It's just amazing what he went through. He lived there for like 30 years. He was well in his 80s before he finally came back and moved in with the family. He just couldn't do it anymore.
It's just really amazing. Now, Maurice can do some of the things that the ladies do up there. For example, that Hailstone family. I don't know if you ever saw them or not. They got a skull and crossbones on their cabin. It's just Hailstones. But they make all the different clothing and that out of hides. And especially with the little children in that, to survive in those dog sleds and stuff like that is just out of the ordinary. But, I'd like to go up there like my brother-in-law, that's a scientist up in Boston, took him and Bernice's sister up there. They had one of those Beaver airplanes, which are really good airplanes, and they flew back in and went trout fishing and that. And George said one old boy stood there with a shotgun the whole time to keep the bears away.
Okay, yeah, you have to be on alert for the wild creatures. Seth was riding his bike into town, the little town of Valdez. They were, where he was staying was outside the town. They rode a bike every day into work with the kayaks and stuff. And they stopped. There was a type of berry that grows up, the salmon berry, I think they call it. And they're very delicious. And when they bloom or when they're ready, they're all over the place. So he was standing there picking salmon berries off of a shrub. He heard a noise and he kind of looked around the other side, and there's a bear sitting there on the other side eating salmon berries. So he just kind of backed away really quietly and got on his bike and left the bear alone.
Zero TR, yeah. I've been photographed with some of those bears. One of them was Bass Pro up in Missouri at their showpiece place in Springfield. And then that was a brown bear. My God, it's huge. And then Roadway Trucking, the family used to have a museum down there on Grand Lake, I think it was one at Bernice. And they had two, he went hunting all over the world, and they had two polar bears that had been taxidermied. And I can't remember how tall they were, Shane. It's just unbelievable. I think it was 1,640 pounds that bear weighed. And his paws, oh my God, they were, I don't know, 10, 12 inches wide. I could imagine one swipe of them and just take your head off.
Say, good morning or good afternoon, Miss Bernice. Hope you're well. But yeah, those polar bears, it's hard to tell unless you've seen one in person or seen one that's been taxidermied. You don't realize how big they are. I think if one is standing on its hind legs, you probably would come up to the waist, you know, the bottom of his, or the top of his back legs. They are tremendous, tremendously huge creatures.
This is Zero TR. Yeah, I watched a show one time. It was Antarctica, I believe, and they had one of those buses that had the six or eight wheels on it, you know, and real tall. And they went out there and they put some cages out and put human beings in them and then watched what the polar bears did with them, because they're carnivorous. They'll eat a human just as quick as they will eat a seal. And boy, I'd have hated to have been in that cage. I mean, those things just batted that cage all over the place. I think he had more guts in the packing house, but a lot less brains.
You know, I'd rather just view them from a distance. But those grizzlies and brown bears are big. We only saw some black bear while we were there. I didn't get to see the brown or the grizzlies. But it again, it's an amazing place to visit. Even if you don't see any wildlife, it's incredible. But we got to see a lot. But anyway, I'm pulling in the driveway, Tom. You and Bernice have a good again soon. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Shane. And that is the War Department. Good afternoon, Shane. Yeah, I saw one a couple of nights ago, and this old boy takes hunters on paid trips, of course, and they went over to Kodiak Island. And I remember the guys telling me that the next deployment that our squadron had that I didn't go on, got out before then, was to Adak, Alaska. And they talked about running up to the cockpit. There was 13 of us on there. And when they land up there in the wintertime, that's right out at the end of the Aleutian Islands. And the winds could get over 100 miles an hour quite often. And they'd all run to the front of the aircraft after it touched down to keep it from getting blown back on the mad gear. There was a big stinger sticking out the tail and the radome back there. I don't mind missing that one, Shane. See you later, N4ZLK, N0TR, 73.
N0TR, KP4CPA.
Oh, I never caught it.
Yeah, this is N0TR. This is KP4CPA.
Oh, hi, Dave. Well, I heard just the tail end of that. How you doing, bud? This is N0TR.
No, I'm doing good. I'm headed over to one of my daughter's place in Powdersville. Her forerunner won't start. It sounds like the she made it do the sound, and it sounds like the starter's not engaging. I think it's what they call the armature is not kicking out to engage with the flywheel back there. So anyway, but I'll know more when I get there.
Yeah, I think that's called the Bendix name, the spring-loaded thing that kicks it into the flywheel.
Man, I was just testing your knowledge. honestly, I couldn't remember. But now, as soon as you said Bendix, that rang a bell. But anyway, hopefully I can either get it going or, you know, get her to a rental car, and we could have her car towed to Toyota.
I would have just called it a solenoid, but it is a Bendix, I'm pretty sure. But do you have one of those battery boxes that you carry, the lithium batteries?
No, I do it the old-fashioned way. I use jumper cables. I got some real good ones. And and they've always worked really well, so. But of course, it spins over. You know, the starter spins over. It's just not, from what I can hear on the phone, it just sounds like it's not engaging.
Battery, then, that's for sure. Yeah, that's not a good thing. These starters nowadays amaze me. They're a little bitty compared to the old days. And they got those rare earth samarium cobalt magnets in them, and they're just, they put out the same amount of horsepower as the old-timey big ones did in our days, Dave.
Yeah, and I hate to work on my my wife's car. Thank goodness it's a 24, and well, mine's a 23, so both of ours are still under warranty. But hers is a her engine shuts off, you know, when you stop, unless it needs to be running for the air conditioning or something. And I don't even think I'd want to mess with that starter. I think it's called, I think they call it a starter alternator or something like that. And I've never even seen one.
Brother's name, I would not have a car that did that. You pull up to a stop sign, the stupid thing stops. That can't be good. I don't care what they say. Our daughter Shelley up in Michigan had one time that did that, and I think it was a Chevrolet. But there's no, I can't imagine who's going to stop that up.
It would really come in handy if you live somewhere like, you know, Los Angeles or Atlanta, where you sit in traffic a lot, because they say, and this has been years ago, the average person idles in like Los Angeles some 3,500 minutes a year. And, you know, California already has one of the worst, you know, smog problems of any state. And you know, anything to cut down on emissions. And I'm sure that's why they probably started it, but, you know, it really doesn't do a whole lot of good here. I mean, unless you're on 85 now, that's another, yeah, that's another thing. But anyway, KB4 CPA.
NGOTR. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be a mechanic and working on one of the dang things, though. It might start. No, I can remember when I was flying off the carrier, we were stationed at San Diego North Island. And we would go out and work with submarines and such out at San Clemente and Santa Catalina. And when we would come back, if it was towards evening there or real early in the morning, it just looked like a yellow cloud all along the coast of the ocean there. It was just yellow and almost like a fog.
I've never been to California, so I wouldn't know, but furthest west I've been in Dallas, Texas, and anyway, and heck, I remember the days when you could start, like a Ford, you could, the star solenoid was on the fender apron. You could just pull had a red wire all by itself, and it just slid onto a screw-looking type thing on the solenoid. So you could pull that red wire off and touch it to the hot side of the of that solenoid. Just had to know which side went to the battery, and you could start the car from under the hood, but you know, you had to be careful because if it wasn't in park, it would still start. and you could fly somebody else if it was in drive or reverse or something.
And that's when my old 53 Chevy was, if I remember rightly. But it had my first Chevy truck had a pedal on the floorboard, and you pushed it down to start it. It was a 216 cubic inch Babbitt beater, and the bearings, instead of insert bearings, was Babbitt, which is a form of lead, and they're hard, but they don't last near as long as inserted brass bearings and that do, or bronze, whatever they are. But then the push buttons was better, but made them real easy to steal too, you know, because the hood latch was out there and there wasn't no security on them. But you didn't have everybody in the country out there stealing vehicles back then. There was a few, but nothing like now.
All these people in the movies, you know, jumping in these new cars and, you know, ripping some wires out from under the steering column and starting the car, and I'm just like, yeah, can't do that. Not with a new one. So, they make it look easy. And, heck, I don't even know how these places, but some places advertise that they can come, like, to your car, like, if you need a key, you lock your key in your car or whatever, and they can make you another key for your car, and it will start your car. Well, you know, when we did it at the dealership, it was pretty involved, and we had to we had to log in to whatever it was, and they had to give us I think we had an out code. They had to give us an in code, and we had to type that in before we could even start the the duplication process of a key after it was cut. And I don't know. I'm certain all these places can come out to where your car is and make you a key that'll start your car. That's pretty amazing.
Well, Gian, well, when we bought our car, what was the name of that joint up there? Hickory Toyota. The last time, they only give you one key, and they were doing that with new cars because there was a shortage of the chips. And so I got rather aggravated about that, and they decided that they would get me a key made and split the price of it. $400 for a key, Dave. So I met this guy over at Spartanburg. The first time, he didn't make it. And the second time, he was there. And it probably took him about an hour, didn't it, to make us a key. And I remember seeing all of the flashers flashing on the car, and I don't know. It was quite involved, though, like you said. And but it still cost me $200. But he was the key guy for Hickory Toyota up there. And that's who come and made it for us. He had a van all set up. But we finally did get two keys anyways to our new car. It was 2022. But that really ticked me off. They didn't tell you that they was going to do that until you was ready to walk out with the automobile, of course. Well, Dave, we're home, so I better let you go. And I don't think we got much to unload here. We stopped at QT and had a hot dog and some other things, and just now got home. Great talking to you today, as usual, so I'll catch you later and be clear with your final KV4CBA and 0TR73s, Dave.
Well, Bernice, make it behave, and I know you will, and I'm almost at my daughter's. I'll be there in about 3 minutes. I'm going down the toll road. I actually can take the toll road from 85, and there's an exit before you have to pay the toll, and I get off at that exit, and that's 153. So it works out pretty good. Well, yeah, I'll have a good evening. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, Dave.
M0TR, KP4CBA.